So usually it takes about 75 hours, including some hands-on training, to become a nursing assistant in a nursing home. I wanted to see what it was like to become a nursing assistant during the pandemic when all these regulations around that had been waived. And so what you do is you go online, and I entered my name and I think my email address, and then just clicked in, and all of a sudden I was in this program. And I realized, well, looking at this, that, you know, whereas a lot of the trainings I've done in the past, you really have to, you know, click on all the links, you have to watch every video, you maybe have to take some little quizzes. With this, you actually could just jump right ahead and you could take kind of the final, you could go straight to the final exam. And so I just started answering the questions using Google to look them up, because obviously I don't know exactly how to be a nurse's assistant. And in about 40 minutes, I had a certificate. I entered my state where I live, and I had the certificate I needed to become a temporary nurse's aide in a nursing home for the coronavirus pandemic.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch, and today, Maggie Severns on the rollback of nursing home regulations in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic.
So this story looks at how the Trump administration really waived a number of different regulations and requirements that are usually there for nursing homes. And one of them are these training requirements that in order to be a certified nursing assistant, which is really probably the most common job in a nursing home, usually you have to have a bare minimum. And that's, you know, the federal requirement is 75 hours of training. And that usually is some classroom time and then some time spent in a nursing home where you're being, you know, supervised by a nurse. What had happened during coronavirus is that they were anticipating these major staff shortages from people getting sick. And so they wound up waiving that requirement and saying, if you need to go into a nursing home, you can do that with very, very little training. And then after the pandemic is over, you can go back and get trained. And, you know, the nursing home industry, the nursing home lobby has for a long time said it needs to be much easier to work in nursing homes because they have problems recruiting employees. So there's also this element of industry pressure on the Trump administration to get something done.
So the idea is that there's a pandemic, it's tough to retain staff, more nurses might be needed, so we need to take down some barriers.
Yeah, we need to take down some barriers. And I think that the pushback that I've gotten on that is, you know, these are people who often make around $15 an hour, maybe a little bit less. It was really hard to retain them before the pandemic. So there were large scale staffing shortages in nursing homes prior to the pandemic. And I think that people who, you know, ombudsmen or other, you know, sometimes families of people in nursing homes would say, you know, these people need to be paid better and nursing homes need to be doing more to retain them in the first place, you know, and what you're doing here is actually creating a safety problem by letting people in who are less qualified.
Across the country, nursing homes have been hit hard during this pandemic. According to new data, one out of every three COVID deaths is a nursing home resident or worker.
As more coronavirus cases are discovered in the U.S., the death toll is rising as well.
Well, there's a huge concern about our senior citizens who live in nursing homes. The federal government is restricting visitors to homes across the country.
There have been numerous outbreaks of coronavirus at nursing homes across the country. You mentioned that there are potential safety problems. Can those outbreaks be linked in any way to these laxer standards?
You know, so there were several different kind of standards that have changed that we talked about in this story. In many cases, it's hard to tell what's going on in nursing homes right now because, as we've all seen in these reports, in a lot of cases, they've just been shut down. So families aren't going in, inspectors in some cases aren't going in, ombudsmen aren't going in. So the people who usually are kind of the eyes and ears inside just aren't inside and can't really say what's going on. One example of a regulation being waived that people have said that they've seen some anecdotal results from is that the administration also relaxed some discharge rules. So these are the rules around when you can tell someone to leave a nursing home. Now, the administration did kind of this limited change to the rule where they said that if you need to make room to take coronavirus patients from hospitals, then you can more easily get rid of some patients in your nursing homes in order to make that space. Now, when I've talked to some ombudsmen or some people who are used to taking complaints from families and complaints from nursing home residents, you know, out in California, they've been seeing this huge uptick in nursing homes just kind of dumping patients. So in one case, a nursing home was calling Project Roomkey, which is this whole service they started in California in order to take homeless people and move them into hotels. And instead, the nursing home was calling Project Roomkey, calling this program for the homeless and asking them to take nursing home patients. You know, in other cases, the ombudsmen have just seen general upticks in complaints from nursing homes discharging people and moving them into unregulated boarding houses, which are just places that they can kind of send elderly people for a month or two and kind of pay them to put them up. And in some cases, nursing home patients just don't really have a great way to complain about this. You know, they don't know their rights. And so it can be a really bad situation for some people.
Beyond just regulations, what do you think it is about the situation in nursing homes that have allowed some of these issues surrounding the coronavirus pandemic to be so amplified at them, to see such bad situations inside of these facilities?
So this story is about regulations, but what it's really about is kind of this push-pull between an industry that says that the problem is that it's really been regulated to death and underfunded by the federal government. You have the Trump administration, which has been kind of receptive to that argument that the industry has been regulated to death because it doesn't want to regulate any industry that much, right? The Trump administration has been kind of in favor of relaxing regulations overall. And then you have kind of people who are advocates for elderly residents who say that nursing homes need more funding and that they really need that regulation. They need those rules because the nursing home industry is really profit-driven, you know, super profit-motivated, and that it's a space that's ripe for abuse. You know, these are some of the most vulnerable residents of our society in any time. But I would say that long before coronavirus, there were some real problems in nursing homes. And I think that kind of your opinion on what's going wrong depends on your personal politics and kind of your personal experience in these homes.
As someone who's covering this and someone who's taken the certification course, what do you think is the fix here?
I think you have to talk about it in kind of short-term and long-term fixes. So in the short term, during coronavirus, you have to talk about, you know, what's going to keep these infections from spreading inside nursing homes. And whether that's, you know, sending in more National Guard aides, whether that is sending more PPE and more money into nursing homes, they're really going to have to figure out what's going to be an all hands on deck approach, because at this point, more than 55,000 nursing home residents have died. And that is a huge number of people. And in some cases, it is coming from these staff who are working multiple jobs in multiple nursing homes. So they go, you know, if you're being paid a very low wage, you go from one nursing home to the next because you're working multiple jobs. So that's helping spread the disease, right? So that gets into these kind of long-term fixes where you have to ask kind of, what kind of a system do we want in this country? You know, right now it is a system that's very underfunded, but it also is one that I think that the public doesn't really want to look at very much. So of course, this huge private industry has taken over. And of course, they're, you know, trying to do the best they can, but they also have a big responsibility to their owners, their shareholders. So I think that in the long term, hopefully it can be a reason for people to maybe reevaluate how this whole system works.
Maggie Severance, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thanks for having me.
Also today, the head of the CDC is warning that later this year, when flu season and coronavirus hit at the same time, it could put a major strain on the country's healthcare system. In an interview with the medical journal JAMA, CDC Director Robert Redfield said the winter could be, quote, one of the most difficult times that we have experienced in American public health. Redfield says measures like wearing face coverings will be key to preventing the health system from being overwhelmed, and that universal mask wearing over the next 4 to 8 weeks could, quote, bring the epidemic under control. He added that President Trump should set an example by wearing a mask in public, and that it's not a political issue, but a public health issue. Over the weekend, Trump was seen wearing a mask in public months after the CDC first endorsed the measure. And the Trump administration is halting its plan to deport international students at colleges without in-person classes this fall. A federal judge announced the government's reversal on Tuesday at the beginning of a hearing for a legal challenge brought by two universities, Harvard and MIT. During the hearing, a government attorney did not cite any reasons for the reversal. The administration was facing lawsuits and opposition from hundreds of schools who said the policy would put students' safety at risk and hurt universities financially because many rely on tuition from international students for revenue. The move brings relief to thousands of foreign students who had been at risk of being deported from the country and to schools that were scrambling to reconsider their class plans for the fall in light of the policy. Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, check out some of our other shows like Politico Energy, Nerdcast, Women Rule, and Pulse Check. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.